Okay, hold up. Here's the deal with gun dooms.
Tito called me a kumquat, and I don't fuck with that, son.
Oh, no.
Baby, you're a goddamn kumquat, Joel. We've been meaning to tell you fucked for a long up, time. Man.
Fucked up.
It's not your fault. Your mother and I have always wanted to tell you that you are...
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Okay,
we tried to, you know, we tried to get the surgery to change it to a Tangelo.
Oh, God.
Wait, are you my
but
mom?
But the doctor was...
Wait, Brandon's my dad and Bailey's my mom? What does it make Tino?
Your parents are very appointed with you right now.
You know what? You know
I don't
what?
Have any appointed.
It was almost going to be a Comquiet. We ended up with a Tangelo. You know why? Because the doctor was, he was just okay with mediocrity.
Damn, son. Yeah. I was born from
see
mediocrity?
What I did there?
Melons?
Here's the thing, though. You're perfect just the way you are. I mean, you're not what any of us wanted, but you're fine, you know. And the important thing about mediocrity is that...
You're nothing
that we
wanted, but hey, you're here, bud.
I'm trying to help. Mediocrity isn't always something to be afraid of. What do you think about that statement that I just made just now?
Oh,
don't
boy.
Be afraid to
fucking hit that intro music, bud.
Mediocre.
People don't listen to this podcast for the quality. They listen for the fruit puns. This is the second time we've talked about fruit in one of our intros. The first one was orange
Damn,
juice.
Fuck.
Orange juice was the most
I
popular
have
intro we've...
Me.
Do you mind if
I have it right here.
Can we get
hold
some
on,
of that?
Do you want to hold on, listen.
Can we get some of that or are you...
Yo, pour some in the mic.
That sounds... Hang on, wait. That is
Florida
orange juice. It sounds like it is vitamin
one
D enriched. Is it...
Bro,
wait,
my
no,
bones?
Wait. It's
so good.
There's no pulp. There's no pulp in that orange juice.
No pulp.
Yep.
Pulp
I couldn't hear it.
Pulps for narcs.
Boom.
You are a monster.
Who has pulps? Fucking tattletales, bro. They drink pulp.
Nonfiction.
People, the thing about orange juice with pulp is that some people really enjoy it. I consider it to be fairly mediocre as far as orange juice goes. But let me tell you that as far as segues go on podcasts about Gunpla, that one was top notch. And the reason why is because the topic of this Cutting Mat podcast is
well, we just want
mediocrity.
A mediocre
segue. We didn't even really do much of an intro. We just kind of fucking said, you know, shit, ribble grabble, mediocrity, no pulp. What's happening, bud? Tino didn't even sign us in. No one knows who we are.
Well,
you guys
I'm going to
sign
us in just a moment
anymore.
Here.
What are you talking about?
I'm all over it, bud.
Tino,
this is the fucking sloppy mat, buddy.
God damn it. Sign us in, Tino.
Oh, now I'm signing us in.
Dude, God damn it, Tino!
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm your sign-in, sign-out boy, Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. To my virtual left is the one and only Bailey.
Oh, yeah, that's me, Bailey, on Instagram as Kamau_Zeta. I'd say left, but it's probably more like a z-axis or whatever
it's
on this, right? Or
it's a cyber
xy-axis.
Cyber axis.
Brandon.
Cyber.
Yeah. To probably the direction of some of Bailey's electrons, I am Brandon. I am mecha genre all over the internet. I have the website mechagenre.com, which I realize at this point hasn't been updated in a couple of years. I use mechagenre.com mostly to broadcast the Cutting Mat podcast. So that's one of the places you can go to listen to it. Additionally, my Instagram feed is up on mechagenre.com. So go check it out if you are curious. And to my, it's directly below me on our new no contact podcast app, but that just means that I'm sitting on his lap, is this guy named Joel.
I have enough room on my lap for everyone. So don't worry about it.
I want a pony and a slushy machine and a chocolate fountain and four perfect grade Zaku's.
You get none
Zaku's
of that if you're mediocrely in life, buddy.
You're going to shoot your eye out, man.
Yeah, shoot eye out, kid.
I will shoot my eye out.
Yeah. I'm Joel. I go online at True
Gun Dooms.
And find it out on there. We got all kinds of bootleg Gundam. Gun Dooms.
Gun Dooms. Joel, why don't you introduce this? You should introduce this Gundoom topic today.
Yeah, we're talking about the Gundoom
thing, man.
Yeah,
Gundoom it.
God damn it!
Wait, can we just keep calling God them Gundoom? What was it? Gundooms? Gundooms.
Gundooms. Hey, you guys.
This is the
number
one.
Yeah, I just want.
Hey, you guys.
Modeling.
Hey,
podcast.
I got a little bit of spaghetti in my Gundoom. Hey.
It sure would be a shame if something would have happened.
Caddy hats.
This is utter chaos because we're being mediocre at our podcast. And that is what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen.
This is worse than the fail podcast, man. So
yeah,
here's
this one digs deep.
It does.
Dig deep. And we're not Brandon, you're gonna probably say it's better than I can. We're not shitting on anyone.
Yeah, we don't wanna I'll say it in my terms. We're not shitting on anyone. And by that,
it's illegal in North Carolina.
It,
yeah, I think that's
well.
Is it,
well, I
people
mean,
get, if people paid good money for that,
yeah. Well, look, what's important here is that, like, when we are talking, we're going to talk about
iTunes ratings.
We're guys. This podcast just got demonetized on YouTube. Sorry about that. We're going to talk about mediocrity, but we're not going to. We don't want to signal. We don't. Welcome to the mediocre podcast. We don't want to single anyone out. We're not going to insult anyone. We don't want to call anyone mediocre in a negative way, because the important thing about discussing mediocrity is that it can seem like we're calling somebody mediocre. We're not doing that. Mediocrity is actually a very important part of a hobby. You have to be comfortable with doing something in your own free time that is not world-class material. And by that, I mean some of the most mediocre things you do in your hobbies may be some of the most relaxing.
I think actually, speaking literally about it, I read somewhere, it's probably in my Instagram feed or something, that when you, like, for meditation, like, there's no, what is it? Like, there's no bad meditation. Like, the moment mm-hmm. you dedicate yeah. the time to do it, you're not, you're, there's no like, oh, you know, you're going to strive for perfection. It's just like you do it. You
let's,
know?
Let's just say that there is no the greatest meditator in the world. That's not a title.
Yeah, yeah. There's no champion meditators. I'm the most calm. I'm not even celebrating.
You know, each time you do it, and you get into that point is going to have success. And that can be very something we can liken to doing this hobby.
Yeah. If you sit down,
meditate.
Actually, building Gunpla is a lot like meditation, since it is relaxing whenever we do it. That's why we enjoy the hobby. And anyone else who enjoys just, you know, snap fitting a kit, maybe doing some panel lines, that is not a bad thing. That is absolutely not a negative
thing, dude.
When we talk about the problems with the concept of mediocrity, it's important that we put it in context. Does that make sense? Everybody on board? Everybody with me?
Sure, yeah.
You guys with me? Tino's not with me. Tino, you with me?
Teacher, I'm listening. I'm here. Present.
That doesn't sound like...
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Repeat back the last 10 minutes of what I just... Wait, hang on.
I'll go last.
So...
Mediocrity is important and is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Good job, T. I know.
Thank you.
Keep going. Brandon.
Okay, that is actually my name. That is the correct pronunciation. I have actually been kind of trying to. Yeah, I've been pronouncing it incorrectly my entire life because I've been trying to help people pronounce it because I'm embarrassed every time somebody. See, that's also correct. The thing about Gunpla also is that these model kits are fully colored. They come out of the box with colored runners. When you put them together, they actually look pretty good. So with something as simple as a panel line and a top coat, you can get something that is a fairly high quality final product. And that's something you can be proud of. Like, people who build Gunpla should be proud of their accomplishments. I mean, that's... You know, part of the hobby, you know, part of the relaxing part is you enjoy what you build.
And you have people filling up those, what do they call it? Detolfs or whatever.
Yeah. Detolfs, the IKEA, the big old, glass cases.
With snap kits, you know, panel line, whatever, got some lights on it. It's
exactly,
impressive
yeah.
in and of itself.
Like, if Jeffrey Dahmer had a D12, he would use it to hold severed heads. And what's really important is that we have them now, and we can put, you know, less illegal things in them. So that's really what's important about D12s.
You have to seal them off or something.
Oh, no gross. One, yeah, you have to.
No one's going to come to your house and look that, like no one outside of the hobby is going to come to your house and be like, that's fine. Your panel lining's a little off and the stickers are missing.
And then they're going to
come over
yet,
and say, hey, cool transformer.
Yeah, better yet.
And that's it.
Yes, exactly. Your average friend is going to come over and see a freaking glass case full of awesome freaking robots in it.
Yeah. They're going to think it's the coolest fucking thing in the world. And guess what? Sometimes they're like, hey, can you like paint one for me?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you can make a cool thing for your friend.
How much fun is that? I really enjoy that part of the hobby because people who have no idea what it is just think it's super cool because they're cool looking robots. They're robots. That's fun. But here's
Transformers,
the deal.
Dad.
They're not Transformers, Mom.
Robots.
They're
get you robots.
Gundams. They're mobile.
Gundooms.
They're Gundooms. Yeah, they're Gundooms. They're some of them are. What's important is they're not all Gundooms. And what's also important is mediocrity is not all bad. No. I think it's important sometimes that we're like okay with some of the things that we do being mediocre. We're not going to always be perfect. Do it badly is about sitting down and knowing that the thing that you're about to build is not going to be perfect. Just do it badly. Like get over the fear of not being perfect that modern society hammers into your head every day. Because guess what? This might be news to you. Modern society fucking sucks.
What?
Yeah.
When? When did it start sucking?
I think it's pretty evident right now.
Since the day I was born?
Society is the worst thing ever to happen to society.
It really is. I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It's,
how does different sides of my brains work? I don't know. No one knows.
Society places expectations on us that are not attainable.
Fucked.
Yeah, they're totally fucked. You just can't.
Especially
you
with
can't,
the internet.
Right, especially with the internet.
It's a crazy thing to unpack there.
why don't you try?
That's an understatement.
Oh, no. No, that'll get off topic real fast.
Do it. Just do it. Stream of consciousness. Mediocre episode. It's like the fail episode.
Well,
we
that's
set
our
out
instant
to fail.
Six-part episode.
Maybe that's what we're going to do. Yeah. This is part of the problem. If you are expected that everything you make is going to turn out to be solid gold. Like that's not, it's just not going to happen.
Well, you did give us a template for this topic anyway. So let's go back to the idea of context and where that does make a difference, where mediocre makes sense, you know, or just having that peace of mind versus when it may not be as appropriate, you know, when you are, you know, doing something to, you know, or the situations in which you are looking for to improve yourself or do better or to, you know, to do something that is perhaps objectively impressive.
Yeah. Objectively impressive is an interesting concept.
It's a hard
Joel, concept. I know that
it's probably impossible.
It is. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, basically, when it comes down to like what is mediocre and what is not, context is everything. Because Joel, you have judged model contests.
Oh yeah, a lot. I can say that now. I've judged a lot of them.
That's good. So like, this is when you're sitting at home building, you know, you're snapping together a model kit. This is a different situation than entering a model kit into a contest.
It's so yes and no. I mean, it's something where like the kind of double-edged sword of, you know, just do it badly kind of happens. It's that we have to, you know, deal with the other aspects of just doing it badly. Is it that it's not us saying, hey, fucking, you know, just do it badly. Don't put any effort into it. So they put effort into it. But you do have two different mindsets of when you're just casually snapping a kit together. It's just fun to fucking do it. And you're not thinking, oh, is this going to place first in the 144th category at IPMS? But at the same time, if you go into that mindset of, okay, this is for a competition, that's when you start to lose that balance between the two. And sometimes your best work of when you're just casually building something and having fun with it is the thing that's going to win the contest.
Oh, yeah. That's
I think you're edging into that idea of just, you know, just personally lifting the bar for yourself. And then you oftentimes with no frame of reference, like to the competition, to what people might be bringing, you suddenly end up with something that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, exactly. You're not putting yourself in a box, and like, yeah. You also can't lift all that weight by yourself. You kind of have to have like your self-awareness and your fun kind of be your spotter for you. Make sure you don't fucking like kill yourself.
I think we're like back. We're back on that motivation topic that we've discussed so many times before. Are you like intrinsically motivated, or are you expecting to receive accolades from something external to yourself?
I also like, though, that Joel brought up self-awareness, because a lot of my work and just in general, self-awareness is, it's so crucial.
I feel sometimes self-awareness gets thrown to the back seat when it comes to the celebration of mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, basically, you got to know what's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to know, like, in order to know that you have improved, you need to understand where your baseline is.
Yep.
So
you can have people that are insanely talented,
mm-hmm.
But if they don't have a it's basically metacognition. They don't have an understanding of what they can do and what they cannot do and what they're capable of and whatnot. You can have people that. Again, objectivity is a hard thing to put a put a pin in, but you can have people that maybe objectively on measures aren't as talented, but because they have an awareness of their abilities and maybe help seeking, like they can find the right help, they can do a lot better than people that are talented if they just have an awareness of it.
I mean, and you mentioned the objective skill level. That's why I brought up contests, because that's really the only time that that's even a thing. Someone else is judging your kit on a quote unquote objective criteria. Otherwise, who cares? You're building these things for yourself. Who cares what other people think? Yeah. That's where we get into trouble with mediocrity. If you are building something for someone besides yourself, maybe you have fun doing that. You know, if you're building something for a contest and you want someone else to judge it, that is, you know, maybe its own hobby. But if you're building something because you want the approval of strangers on the internet, you're going to have a bad time.
It's never going to be fun.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge problem. The internet is, first, the internet's a terrible place. I mean, I understand that we're on the internet right now. We're in the internet. You are hearing us through the internet. I totally understand that. But you have no control over the way the internet is going to interpret your work.
Yes. Get into that concept of locus of control.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If this is another psychological concept, the locus of control. What do you have control over internal to yourself? And what is external to you outside of your control?
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey was talking about having self-awareness and knowing when your skills are improving. It's absolutely crucial to improvement. And it's also more or less inside your locus of control. You have control over how much you practice, how you evaluate your skills, when you get better.
Mm-hmm.
Qui-Gon Jinn said it, your focus determines your reality.
Damn.
All reality is
Jin, son.
What?
All reality
what
is
a nice little
right there.
Yeah.
And then all reality is constructed.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, now my brain's hurting.
It's because reality is based on perception, which is based on context, which is based on mental state. So here's the problem, though. Locus of control always distills down to expectation. If you are posting something on the internet and expecting people to provide a bunch, like, overwhelming positive response. That is not going to happen.
Well, I mean, if you just simply know that, you know, the internet is the devil's butthole, and so
it's like but see, look, Bailey, it's not even like
the second
primary
time
butthole.
I've got that laugh.
It's like if the no, if the devil had two buttholes, it's not even like the first one. It's like the backup butthole that he hardly ever uses.
It's the one he uses when he has, you know, bad Mexican or something.
That's not a race joke, that's butthole.
Food. Anyway,
he chewed on the Judas wrong.
If you simply know that, you know, the internet is full of, like, people that just are trolls on purpose, you know, then you can be fine with that. But if you're like Brennan said, if you're going on there and you just have this, you know, we can call it the maybe inflated opinion of your work, you're gonna get the backhand of reality there.
It's super frustrating because it's one of those things that with having like an online business is, you know, certain things work, but you also have to have this little tiny fucking thing in the back of your brain that's like, you know, things work. You also know that you're standing in the middle of Satan's asshole.
Yeah.
And
backup asshole. It's not even
something
a primary
asshole.
Something
could go wrong. Yeah. Right. Something could go wrong, and that's not in your control because it is the fucking internet. Yep. Yeah. And I feel people, once they have a taste of it, right? They have something that went really well and really good, and they're like, oh, it blew up. That's all day. Exactly. I got to keep doing it. They start looking up articles. When's the best time to post on Instagram or where the fuck else it is?
When is the best time to post likes from strangers on the internet? That is the epitome of extrinsic motivation. You are motivated entirely by the approval of strangers you don't know. That's a huge problem.
The irony of that is that should already be an admission that things aren't always perfect. Like, that idea of timing in order to get it should be an admission that, hey, this shit ain't really ideal, you know?
See, even a perfect
It's not the time of light. It's not a freaking growing a plant and you're looking for that sweet spot. Today.
It's not fucking,
like,
it's not
six
farming.
Hours of, like, daylight, you know? Right. It's like,
this isn't baking.
The shit's bad.
But if the shit's bad, you can make it look good by posting it at a different time. That is a flawed system, and it should not be your baseline of evaluation. You know?
Yeah.
You're playing
by someone else's rules.
Right. You're playing by someone else's rules. And as a result, you're probably extrinsically motivated rather than being intrinsically motivated to succeed. And as a result, we've talked about this before on this podcast, that is a high risk of burnout and loss of interest. And you're probably going to move on from the hobby, honestly. Mm-hmm. If you've got to be in it for yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the real key. I think we've used soccer as an example in the past. We've used Satan's butthole as an example in the past. We've used Segways. We've used kumquats. A hamburger came up. There was a food truck. I'm fairly sure that Tino said the word ass six times in 1 minute in one of the episodes. Go back and listen to all of them to find out which one that is. All of these things all come together to form a Voltron, which means I totally lost my train of thought.
That was a big buildup too.
Wow.
Damn, dog.
Well, let's one thing we can probably revisit here is what is, you know, this idea of intrinsic motivation that we're talking about. What is, because we kind of touched on it when we're talking about mediocrity. It's like, but if we are going to do something good, you know, and not have it be externally motivated, you know, in terms of having performance goals and being seen as good, what is it that when we're just doing it for ourselves, what might that look like?
Tino, what do you think?
Hey, and since it's Tino, let's add the idea of, like, when you are practicing, or, you know, you're doing an example of a sketch or something, you know, what does that look like, you know?
So most of the time when I do that, I post it up on Instagram or something, the thought process is, oh man, I am really proud of this one particular thing. that I accomplished.
You are
proud. And I am. And I want to see if anyone else might glean something from it. But mostly it's just like, look at this one thing I did. This is great. I don't care if anybody else sees it.
There's a before and after to that too, though, right?
Yeah.
Before you set out to achieve a particular, you know, line or particular shade or whatever. And then after, you've seen whether you've accomplished that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like the idea is for the betterment of your skill, you are looking at where you are and where you can get yourself to be, you know, with practice and effort put in. And then at the end point, you're looking back on that and seeing, yeah, you have either attained it or there's something else you need to try to do to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
That is correct.
That's so intrinsic. Oh my God, that's so intrinsic.
I would have taken an entire episode to fill out that sentence.
Well, I mean, but that's what it is.
The very definition. Yeah, it's absolutely is.
Yeah. No, and I mean, that's literally anytime I post something, it's just so that I can go back, because I'm not going to be able to hang on to all these pages of paper that I sketch on or hang on to all the digital files, because I'm eventually going to lose something or I'm going to have to get rid of something to make room for something else. So like, it's really, anytime you see me post, it's just for my own reference to go back to later. If you guys if you guys happen to enjoy it, that's amazing.
No,
so you're posting for you. Yeah.
I can identify with that, because like in my Instagram or just the photos on my phone when I, you know, finish a model or in progress of the model, I probably box that thing up. Or in some cases, you know, like some of them are at the shop or whatever, and I don't have it. So when I want to go back to it, the photos are there, you know, or if it's on my Instagram, it's there. I'm going to, you know, zoom in and take a look at it or whatever. But yeah, definitely identify with that.
And it's, I actually had like a little bit of a wake up call with that recently. There was a comic I did, I think in 2017. I was looking at that the other day. I was updating some stuff. And it was just like, yeah, it's just like, man, that was good when I did it. But
I
know so much more now.
When you did it, context is everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that even goes back to the very concept of the term mediocre. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? What is that? I don't think that mediocre even.
What is that?
Good.
Oh, get this off my shoe. Oh, mediocre.
That's good, because
two mediocres over
one person's mediocre is not another person's mediocre.
Yeah.
Like, you said it earlier. One of you said it earlier. It's like a baseline, a personal baseline, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If somebody this topic kind of came up because there was a situation there were several examples where someone noticed that people were posting things on social media that were fairly basic and seemed to be expecting overwhelmingly positive feedback. So in the comments, there was hostility towards people trying to provide positive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, what do you think, like, if you could give that person advice, what would you tell them?
Hey, it's the internet, bud.
It's a fucking internet,
it's the internet,
man.
Dog.
You're in the wrong place.
You can be the fucking sweetest person in real life or the nicest person in the history of the world, but like, someone named Master Chief 420 Slayer XXX is gonna fucking hate your guts for no reason other than the fact that you simply exist.
Oh man, this guy Tit Boober 69 hates my pre-shading. What does that mean?
Yeah, it could be for the most minute shit. Just like, you know, I fucking hate the way your name sounds, bud.
Mm-hmm.
And
everybody hates
someone is going to fucking not agree with you, and that's just.
That's
the
it.
Way the world works too. I mean, and fucking, you know, the internet and shit, but like,
I mean, that's to be honest, if we're to be seen like a, I don't know, like an advice column or something, I don't know, but that's out of the realm of that's a whole separate thing. Like,
yeah.
You gotta, you know, you gotta go elsewhere and get some like confidence boosting or something, or just find a way to grow some thick skin, because that's right. just the way it is.
Yeah. But the other thing too is a lot of people try and find a community, a group, a page or something that has people on their same mindset. And
oh yeah.
Echo chamber.
Yeah,
sometimes it's not positive. Sometimes it can lead to your what in reality you don't think is mediocre, but a lot of the general population does, but you think it's the fucking golden shit because you've surrounded yourself with people that are in the same mindset. Mm-hmm.
Small pond, man.
Right. I mean, you can be the biggest fish, but it doesn't mean that you're the biggest fish in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the other problem with small, tight knit communities like that, I mean, sure, they can be great communities, but you can only grow so much in those situations. And the important thing is to learn new techniques and to understand like what the global community is doing. You kind of have to branch out a lot to find out what new techniques are out there.
Yep.
Because even Absolutely. If you master all of the techniques in your quote unquote local meta, that those may not even be a handful of the techniques available to you as a builder. You know,
just be willing to get burned or something.
That's
the flame.
That's a good way to put it.
The flame is not what I'm talking about, though. I just mean like, I don't know, like going to IPMS or something. Be willing to get burned by the shitheads that are going to talk, because
I think it's still pronounced in shitheads.
Well, because in that crowd, they're going to be the ones that are talking loud and talking shit. But there's going to be other people that are going to give good advice and good criticism. Yeah. And like Brandon said, you're not going to get that if you're still in the small pond. You know, you got to be willing to branch out, but also have an expectation that you're going to get, you know, people are going to be assholes. And then amongst that crowd, you're going to meet people that are really out there to, they're community oriented. They're out there to support builders and, you know, up and coming model builders and things like that. They're going to be out there. They're not going to be talking as loud as the shitheads that are going to be just like, yo, you got that. I fucking hate that shade of green and that's not accurate or whatever.
Well, the whole reason.
A lot of the people that are there that you're going to talk to that are super nice, they're just like you. They're going outside their pond to find advice and like try and find other people from different ponds. Mm-hmm. Instead of the fucking big ass, I don't know, frogs or whatever, they're like, this shit sucks ass. Yeah.
That was a pretty good frog impression. Yeah, I've heard that frog before.
Yeah, it's rare or something.
It's extremely rare. It evolves into the frog that says don't pre-shade with, you know, whatever the correct color.
Yeah.
That tells you to pre-shade with black because it looks way better to pre-shade with black. I evolved from the frog that says I hate that fucking shade of green. Oh, actually, those frogs that say I hate that shade of green, the reason why they hate that shade of green has nothing to do with you, by the way. By the way, to go back to locus of control, people who give you comments on shit that doesn't fucking matter, those people are giving you their opinion in a way that makes it sound objective. That is not useful for anyone.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, well, I had an expectation about this color that you did not meet. And since you didn't meet my random expectation, I declare your work mediocre.
Garbage.
Oh, yeah. It's not useful.
It's wild when a judge says, oh, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't in my style.
Dude, you got to be able to pick
that
out.
You're not there to be in your style. No one's building for you.
Right.
They're building for the event.
There is no objectively correct style. I can't believe a judge said that. Man, yeah, that's super. That is not the correct way to do an objective judging of a kit.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean that actually comes down to like a pretty important concept in scale modeling. How do you differentiate between preference and objective reality?
Going outside your pond, dude. I mean that's why I try to get so many people at IPMS events to like be a guest judge and like, hey, go judge armor. Go judge fucking airplane, dude. I don't know anything about it. Exactly. Because you don't You haven't looked at it. Go be a judge. Be objectively not a fan of the whole subject matter and just say, okay, this is what looks good. I mean, I did military and I don't really like tanks that much. I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did it so that way I at least have that knowledge and expertise from the other judges, but also testing my ability of, can I look at something that is objectively something I wouldn't want to make, but judge it in all its correct merits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
By correct merits, that's like technique stuff, you know?
Yeah. Like a thing that applies to anything in scale modeling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. This is, I think that, like, dude, mediocrity is such a big topic because it ties into everything.
Yeah. We're just like unpacking this shit.
We have discussed so many things already on the podcast. Like, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to think that your own work is mediocre because that's how you improve. The importance of being intrinsically motivated to succeed rather than expecting validation from external parties. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. ties into this very heavily. You know, the importance of branching out, going outside your comfort zone and doing different things. That's super important. I think it's like the philosophy that we are trying to communicate hinges very heavily on like self-improvement.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You got to know where you are. You got to know where you expect yourself to be.
Slowly raising that bar little by little.
Yeah. Every time you sit down. 'Cause what would have seemed like a fucking like, oh, I'll never get to that point. I'll never be able to do that. Is like a fucking not shit. It's nothing.
That's
like,
not shit.
You know, that's like, and that happens with all kinds of shit. But like, I feel having that growth is good.
Yeah, that can happen. That's a sense of learned helplessness that mm-hmm. what it really comes down to that Brandon brought up with locus control is, sometimes you can have an external locus control that you can't control anything, but in particular, you can't control how well you do. If you follow what I mean, like you can't change how well you can or your ability to improve. And so it doesn't matter what you do. And that's when, like Joel was saying just now, you get up into that state of mind where it's like, well, it doesn't matter what I do because it's not going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
So let's get these ratings so that we can also enter the cutting mat into the self-improvement.
Oh shit. Right. Section. Self-improvement section. God damn.
Five,
let me tell
five
you.
Stars, no less. 'Cause we're dropping pearls here.
It's weird. I mean, we haven't done like...
Oh, wait. Now that's going to put us into another category, too.
Yeah, it is going to put us into another category. We don't want to be in that category. Yeah. Maybe we do. Maybe we do want to be in that category. That could also be a good thing for us. I don't know. Yeah.
That's a different kind of bar.
It's kind of weird to talk about this and like kind of how you like tied in all of our episodes, too, is that this podcast was never really intended to be like, here's how you get rid of a sea lion. It was always just like the other shit that involves a hobby that people don't really want to talk about because it's not, to some it may not be that interesting, but like I think we've also, from what we like when we started this shit, we've been slowly raising that bar of what we're covering. And we keep raising that bar little by little.
Well, we're like, you could think of it as raising the bar. You could think of it as like drilling deeper and deeper into the core of what makes us do this hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and the overall objective of the podcast, like I don't fucking know what the podcast is for, but I can tell
sure
you what
is.
I know what I want to do for the people who are listening right now. And that is I want to help you enjoy your hobby.
Yeah.
That's pretty important
for sure.
That's like my goal in life. Like I enjoy it so much. Why can't I help other people enjoy it?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the thing. I think that, you know, all of this ultimately comes down to how hard you push yourself and how hard you let others push you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we even had a segment in the fail episode about school, how if you're in school and you are quote unquote failing, that means you're not meeting someone else's expectations of you.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't even necessarily mean that you aren't meeting your own personal expectations. These were sort of external. They're outside of your locus of control. They're things which you do not have control over. And as such, if you feel like you are internally a failure because you don't meet someone external to you's expectations, that's a major source of stress. And in a hobby, every major source of stress is another chance to just ruin the hobby, you know?
Yeah. It shouldn't be stressful.
Right.
It's a very low threshold, too.
Oh, yeah. It totally is a low threshold.
For how much stress you can have, like, in your life, you know, with work and shit versus your hobby. Because, like...
Yes.
I've seen so many people that get really hyped. They make an Instagram for it, and then they're gone.
Right.
They're
gone.
This is supposed to be elective. This is supposed to be something that you choose to do. Obviously, you know, we're spending money that is allocated that is otherwise not, you know, it's not really necessarily an expense that sustains us, but it does sustain us in a way in terms of our mental health for a lot of people and just peace of mind. Like Brandon said, it's about, you know, enjoyment and getting that moment for yourself. But like you said, Joel, the threshold is low because like it's not meant to be something that is stressful. And if it is, then we don't necessarily say this in this podcast, but if it is, you're kind of doing something wrong.
Well, you need to reevaluate. Yeah, it's you are. It's not like you like, oh, you might be like, nah, you fucking like there's no. You're telling me like moms that like do like sewing and shit, like fuck this shit. It's so fuck stressful. And they're like, oh, I love sewing so much. No, they go fuck off and do something else. Like,
yes.
A biggest thing is like, I mean.
You get 500 downvotes on a crochet forum, and that just makes you quit the hobby forever. Like, is that how that works?
Yeah. Like, you mean, it's kind of like skateboarding. I mean, I stopped skating when I was fucking young, but, like, I have a lot of people, like, a lot of friends that, like, are super into it, and it's it's never stressful. It can be frustrating at times because they're trying so hard to, like, land
figure
a fucking,
or something out, yeah.
Yeah, like, land a trick or land a stare or whatever, but, like... If it's stressful, like if you go home after you're done skating, you're just like, oh, my God,
yeah,
my life.
You feel
like,
worse. That's not good.
You should be stoked. Like, yeah, I fucking landed that. Oh, fuck yeah, man. That was, you know, hey, it was fucking frustrating. It was a pain in the ass, but I did it. You know, that's – but, like, no one paints a model and goes, oh, fuck, man. I just can't stop thinking about it. So much stress going on. Yeah. What do you – what?
Those are – those moments, much like skateboarding, those moments or anything – they should typically be sequestered to maybe if you're entering a competition, then you're going to be kind of stressed.
Maybe.
Outside of that, they shouldn't be experiencing.
Yeah. Well, there's no competitive aspect, of course. You know, once you enter a competitive aspect, there's going to be stress.
Oh, yeah.
But you're openly inviting that into yourself. Yeah, it should be a motivational stress.
Right. It's part of the fun. Yep.
But unfortunately, when you don't have that motivational stress and you have that, you know, weird lull of just being fucking drained full stress, and you're someone that wants to have the external, you know, response from strangers on the internet, you're going to find yourself going and making just the mediocre version of yourself over and over and over again.
You're going
to
be safe. You're gonna play.
Yeah, you're just gonna be safe.
Yeah, safe. Safe is the enemy of good, right?
Yeah,
safe is the enemy of good. Yeah,
you're not gonna take any risk, and what that also means is you don't take any risk. You don't really learn.
Well, not even that.
Learn and develop.
It's like sometimes the risk you take in doing stuff is what gets you over just like your normal straight line that you always do. You kind of make something fucking cool that people go, oh, I really want to pay attention to what you're doing too. It's unfortunate that, like, I mean, I did it at first is you do something really cool and people are really into that and you get all this response and, you know, your fucking brain and your right and left brain endorphins and whatever Brandon calls them, dolphins, they'll start revving dolphins. Up and you're like, hey, this feels fucking great. Yeah. I'm inside a bunch of dolphins.
I don't know if you guys knew, but brains are full of dolphins. There's little tiny dolphins that just fly.
It's a whole sea world in there.
Yeah. The whole what parasympathetic nervous system is run by dolphins. Is that correct, Bailey? Can you confirm? In dolphins, is that right?
Sounds about right.
All
right,
that's what
good.
I thought, bud.
But just making sure you
get in that like weird fucking loop, and you just try to replicate that weird shit over and over again. And nothing's ever going to be up to par of that one thing until you try something different, mm-hmm. something new, or you're afraid to like not listen. You're no longer afraid to not listen to what people are saying. I want to see this. You should do this. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
It's when you get outside of that shit, you stop being mediocre at being yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being yourself should be top priority. I mean, sure, it's fun to do things. Right. Yeah, exactly. A lot of these techniques are difficult. If you find a technique to be too difficult, the urge is probably there to do the easy thing. Yeah. Give up, do the easy thing, post that result online because you just want the feedback
you think it works in your head. Yeah. You think it works, even though it may not, you think
that's the thing. Yep.
That's where I thought Joel was getting to, because
expectations.
If your goal is, and I think you touched on it with like the heavy video productions that we see, but, if the end goal is to have something that looks cool, especially on video, you know, when you can control the angles and whatnot.
Wait, hold up. Video? When you say video, what are you talking about?
Well, like YouTube videos.
Video, Instagram videos. They're on the internet. Instagram photos, especially photos, because it's an angle, you know, you're putting it from an angle where you're getting
your content.
Gotcha. So you mean like high production, like YouTube videos that are.
Yeah. We see them. What I mean is you set up, because if that's the end goal, then you could get there just doing the same techniques you have been doing. But if the end goal, like we talked about with Tino, is to try a new technique and, you know, perfect a particular way of accomplishing, you know, shading or things like that, then you're striving for that more so than just striving for the likes and the clicks and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's in and of itself is going to be, at least it should be, there's a balance here where you still want to have, you know, I think we touched on it, but you still want to have good pictures when you actually do get to that point.
Well, yeah. That's your method of communicating. You communicate your build's quality through the pictures. Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah. The quality of it's a big thing because, again, like we said, when you're in your small little pond and you got a bunch of people saying, oh, yeah, it looks great, looks great, looks great.
Yeah.
You're lowering your bar of what is mediocre to yourself instead of having either a group of people that are actually going to give you a legitimate feedback.
Challenging you, pushing you.
Yeah. Right. Or saying, you know what? I'm not going to do, you know, like for me, I did the soldering iron tutorial video because it was a weird thing that I found and I felt stoked for doing it. And then I try to do one with water slides, a thing that I already knew how to do, but like, I was like, oh, that tutorial video did good. Maybe this one will do good. Nope. The one with me fucking with like, I don't know, at the shop or like other shit that I just said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do this and just have fun with it. If people like it, cool. If they don't, fuck them, I don't care. Those ones are the ones that did good. And I think if I was just like showing it to two people, like, what do you think? I would never do any of the fun shit. Like, no one ever does anything new just fucking with the same two people.
Oh, yeah. Just
consult or whatever.
You know why nobody does anything new? It's because doing new things is hard. Like, the reason why doing hard things is basically the equivalent of doing something new is because not many people are willing to do the hard thing. If a technique is hard, it means that you can use that technique to differentiate yourself when you get good at it, you know? One must follow the other.
That people don't want or not.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Take.
Yep, and that's like why they fall back.
Yeah, exactly. Because if your end goal again is to get that, you know, get the likes and whatnot, then you're and the risk of it's it goes back to what you said, like expectations and motivation. Because if your motivation is to get the likes and your expectation of success for doing something challenging is low versus your expectation for doing the thing you've always been doing is high, then to reach that end goal of posting something and getting likes and whatnot, you're going to do the easy thing and just get that. And then you're not really moving forward. You're not really moving the bar for yourself. Yep. Or it, and also that may not be elevating your stress level, but then your stress level is linked to how many likes that you're getting, of course, which we already talked about.
They don't mean shit.
That's a crapshoot because you
don't
have control
plug your
that.
Stress level into Satan's backup butthole. That's a terrible idea. Ugh.
You know, and he only opens the floodgate when, you know,
like you said,
Taco Tuesday.
Yep.
Anyway,
the 8 million Scoville unit burrito. That's not a good situation. You don't want that.
So like if instead your motivation is to, you know, to develop this or just do something fun, like Joel said, try something new, then, you know, in the vein of just do it badly is like, okay, your chance of failure is probably high, but who cares? You know, you're trying something. So just try it anyway and see. And it's like, okay, well, even if you didn't attain it, you trust me, just by dint of doing it, you have learned something, you know? And if, again, we've touched on this in a previous podcast, make sure you go back and check it out, a previous episode. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do that again and you do the same thing, you know what definition we already talked about of what insanity is. But chances are, if you're human and you have a heartbeat.
Right. Yeah, the definition of insanity. Yeah, it's appreciating with black, right? Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly. So the definition of insanity is appreciating with black. So going to do something different when you do it again because you've learned from that previous experience.
That's right.
And that is where things move down. And definition of insanity is appreciating with black.
Right. And the definition of insanity is, you know, buying a preview ticket to Doc.ConCon. Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Oh my God.
They go on sale next week, but don't buy them. Oh my God, people, do not buy them. Who are you and why?
Do you know where you should buy stuff from?
You know what? That's a
places in
question.
The supply drop.
Let's hit up a supply drop right now.
Sound the horns for the supply drop.
Thanks a lot for joining us, podcast listeners. We have some fantastic sponsors of the Cutting Mat podcast who help us bring our ramblings to you by supporting us financially through our Patreon. Please check out our Patreon if you'd like to financially support us as well. You can find the link to the Patreon on thecuttingmatpodcast.com. That is thecuttingmatpodcast.com. Our first sponsor is a local, it's a local US-based store that's in Florida, actually. That's my personal favorite place to order Gunpla and Gunpla supplies. It is a little store called USA Gundam Store. Has anyone else heard of
USA? USA.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, I mean, yeah, but like also like unironically because they're freaking fantastic.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Dude, seriously, Adam actually keeps the store extremely well stocked. If you check out their weekly emails, you'll find all of the pre-orders that they have available. You'll also find weekly restocks, which is actually pretty critical because, as you
always
know, Gunpla.
I always like scanning those lists.
Dude, they're really good. Gunpla restock in waves. So if you're not familiar with the way that Gunpla restocks, not every kit is in print at every given time. So USA Gundam will tell you which kits are in print and which kits they're going to get into stock, which is really helpful for hobbyists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to have a little plan for it. And if you want to check out the GunplaNews.com, it is a part of the USA Gundam Store. And the Gundam forums are back online, as we talked in a previous
episode.
They're
back!
So if you want to relive the glory days of at least 10 or 20 minutes between reply, you want to go to check out the Gundam forums. I mean, honestly, they're great. I love having the forums. Like, it's just nice having that slower pace communication with others about, you know, it's more well thought and spoken a little bit.
I mean, it's nice to be able to go back and reread the conversation as well. If you want to find out,
there's no one tagging everyone either, which is nice. Yeah, like Discord.
That's the thing. I have my own opinion about the state of forums. You should listen to Permission of Paint to find out what I think.
We did talk about that.
We did talk about forums. Yeah. It was a good time.
And also, while you're on USAGundamStore.com, you can check out the paint section and head over to the Scale Modeler Supply Paints, or SMS Paints for short. A wonderful Australian company. One-man show. And I'll tell you, these are some of my favorite. Actually, they're the only lacquer paints that I use. And they're not technically a full 100% lacquer. They're a lacquer acrylic. Mm-hmm. Acrylic lacquer.
Yeah. Which is actually, in my opinion, it's the best type of lacquer paint. But look, we could, like I said in previous episodes, we could probably have paint fights over this stuff. But SMS, honestly, the best part about SMS paints is that they are made by hobbyists for hobbyists. Like,
that's right.
People that like do the hobby make the paints. They know what we want and they nailed it. They basically just nailed it.
Always nice to have a paint company that a lot of the samples are done by the owner of the paint company.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That's always fun. And then, of course, we have Holy Mountain Printing and, of course, Holy Mountain Toys. Wonderful shirt shop that I help run. And we've got a toy store. If you're looking for really weird Initial D model kits and Super Mini Pla, we're going to be your one-stop shop. And Macross kits. We have an ungodly amount of Macross crits and Zoids and pretty much oddball stuff. And we do have Gundam, but it's really old SD kits that I found online. So
which honestly are hard to find. So check out Holy Mountain Printing for that stuff. Also, if the members of the Admiral tier of our Patreon have received a shirt from Holy Mountain Printing, which is extremely high quality, I'm super impressed. honestly, Holy Mountain shirts are like, I grabbed the Grave Creeper shirt. And the Gate Creeper shirt, and I freaking love that shirt. It's a tie-dye red shirt with a white printing on the front, and I just feel like it's gonna last forever. Like, it's awesome.
We print with the blood of Satan. And it helps. Really, it's a good thinning medium. So
it's good thinning medium.
Yeah, it works really well.
I only thin my paints with the blood of my enemies.
Or water, whichever one is available.
Whichever one's available. Or strawberry yoo-hoo, whatever.
Typically the blood, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to head back into this podcast.
Whiskey. So we talked before the break. Before the break, we talked about expectations and why having expectations about the way the internet will respond to your posts is a recipe for fucking disaster. That's a good way to have all of your hopes dashed and then cut up into tiny pieces with a slap and chop, soaked up with a ShamWow, and then taped to something with that guy who does the who's that guy that does the flex tape? Flex tape is it's the one that.
Flex Steel. Like,
it's Billy Mays.
Flex Steel. Yeah.
Flex Family
Apart.
That's not
Billy Mays. So
that's a different guy. Billy Mays did
all God rest his fucking soul.
Yeah, he got hit in the head on a plane, right?
I have no idea about that.
No, it was like an overdose or some shit.
No. He got hit in the head with.
He overdosed on OxyClean? What is happening?
No.
Billy Mays here.
No, he jumped out of a plane and hit his head on another plane on the way down.
That's fantastic. Oh, my God.
No, man.
That's how I want to
go. There was loose luggage or something, and it hit his, there was turbulence, and he got hit in the head. Soft
spot? Dude. Oh, that's terrible. He's not an infant. Soft spot? Tito.
Oh, this is terrible, man.
No. Okay, we're not making light of Billy Mays' death. The guy was one of the greatest salesmen of all time. But Billy Mays is actually an important segue because
like his fucking hard reset button was on top of his head.
You didn't know. Oh no. It's like holding down the reset button when you hit the power button so you don't lose your NES save. Have you ever done that before? Yeah, this is... Look, we were children of the 90s. We understand how this stuff works. What were we talking about? Podcasts. Gundam.
It's incorrect. That's right.
Satan's Butthole. That was the one. Yeah, well.
Sorry.
You know, you can only handle so much OxyClean. But expectations. You expected one thing about Billy Mays. You got something else. That probably caused some stress. What I'm saying is, if you post something on the internet, you will not be happy with the result because you probably have high expectations of what kind of positive feedback you'll get from that post. But I want to flip the script and talk not about Satan's secondary butthole, but about Satan's auxiliary mouth hole, and say, oh God, that was awful.
What?
I'm talking about the input, not the output. If you are online and you see
this
post,
isn't South Park, right? So we're not talking about butt face.
That's a different. No, we're not. If you're online and you see a post that you consider to be mediocre, that you can tell that someone has like really put a lot of effort into, like, what do you do? Because my first instinct when I see a post like that,
I put my timer on and wait for the first shithead to show up.
Well, that's one way to do it. You can counter shitheads. I got a weird inclination to be a shithead. Not like to be a trolling shithead, but I mean like to provide unsolicited positive criticism. You know what I mean?
I've been trying.
Unsolicited advice is the great. I love. Hey, Joel, a word of advice. You should like it less.
Yeah, I should.
I've been trying to be like, hey, dude, that looks really cool, but then ask a question about the build.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good way to. Yeah.
Just like, how did you do this one thing, or how did you make it look so smooth? That kind of deal.
So you're asking the question about the build. You could even say, what kind of paint did you use, or what was your panel lining technique, to get some info. They give you a response, and then you can respond with, that's great. It turned out really good. I noticed in this area there's like this thing. You can avoid this by using this technique in the future. Just kind of like slip in help. I want to benignly help these people. How do we do this? Is there a right way to do it, or am I an asshole?
I don't know if there's a right way, but I sound like you're on the right track. I mean,
yeah,
we talked about it.
Hang on, before. Yeah, Bailey, did you bring enough for everyone?
Oh shit!
I'll
fucking rip it open, bud.
I'll slide it through the computer screen for you.
Yeah, put it in your CD-ROM drive. Email me whatever you're eating. I assume it's Bugles. Are you eating Bugles?
Oh, it's Haichu. What?
Oh,
Haichu. Oh, fucking.
Man, wait, is it the pineapple flavor or the banana flavor?
Nah, fuck that. Fuck both of those. Mango. Baby.
Oh, mango. Mango.
Tino knows what I'm talking about.
Mango is pretty good.
Mango chew.
Dude.
Gang.
All right, I got to email them and see if they'll sponsor us. By the way, Tony Hawk still has not.
Oh, I would fuck with a Haichu sponsor.
Do you think that. All right, we'll see if we can. I got a strategy to roll this in with Tony Hawk. We'll make this work. It'll be great.
Oh, boy. Oh shit. Okay.
All right, what were we talking about?
You were talking about giving unsolicited advice, or having positive feedback. I think we talked about it in a previous episode, but two positives and negative kind of thing.
Well, so the feedback sandwich, is that kind of the thing?
Yeah,
sort of.
I think,
but even you're asking us how we handle people that kind of like post mediocre.
Yeah, what do you do?
Just view it as first of all, view it as a point of progression, you know?
Yeah, because you don't know them, you don't know their situation, and you don't know how good they were yesterday.
That's true. Exactly. But if there's something you can see, I mean, generally you can see, if we're all on Instagram, we click on a name and look at previous posts and all that kind of shit, right? So you can generally get a sense of the point at which they are in their modeling development. I don't know what the term to use, a career.
It's kind of like you can sort of figure out. Well, actually, you can find out what is mediocre for them and find out if this kid is above or below their own personal baseline. Eh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But even in that case, and you know, I've a lot of friends that I've developed in the skill modeling community and whatnot, and ask me about different techniques and stuff like that. I can also know what they're capable of and also have the view, like, okay, to bring it back to like learning sciences, like viewing everybody as being capable of more in just a matter of effort and time and progress and not necessarily having a fixed level of ability.
Yeah.
Then you can see that wherever they're at right now, that's not necessarily where they're going to stay or where they should necessarily stay. You know, if you can provide the right kind of goading or the right kind of advice to move them further in their level ability, and also provided they're willing to listen, you know?
All right.
So it's like, if you provide the feedback and like you said, Brennan, it's not necessarily the feedback sandwich, you know, two positive negatives or whatever, but more so that negative. It's not really a negative. It's just something, you know, that they can do different and get a different result.
Yeah. I mean, it comes from a good place for sure.
Exactly.
You know, it is attempting to make someone else's hobby more enjoyable for them because you know, basically I am imposing my own enjoyment of the hobby on someone else by assuming that since I enjoy watching myself grow in the hobby, I assume that they will also enjoy getting better at it, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately what I really heard, which is the most important part, is that I'm not the asshole. So that's great. Awesome. Aren't you fantastic? Good. Oh, good. Okay.
There you go. Not,
yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah, good. Okay, good.
And again, I mean, you can see, you know, you can kind of get a sense of, oh, yeah, this actually really, really ties into what you said earlier, because you can get a sense of what somebody's goals are when they're doing something, mm-hmm. whether, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, where it's like, you know, if they're a snap builder, there's no issue with that. You
right.
know,
yeah, yeah.
they're interested in you know, learning seam line removal, you know, panel line, whatever, fine, put it together and do another kit. And, you know, the conversation tends to gravitate around which, you know, master grades are more difficult than others to put together. Yep. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Even within that area, there's advice that can be provided and skills that can be developed, you know, and if it doesn't progress beyond that, there's no issue with that either. But you can also look and see when somebody is like, they have a more kind of long-term goals set, and it's like, okay, well, they're snapping now, but they're looking into, you know, airbrush setup or, you know, looking into paints and things like that. Then, you know, there's other things that we can talk about to get them to that point too. You know,
it's that drive to improve themselves, you know,
yeah.
the desire to improve will ultimately lead them to poll the community to get information about how they can better improve. So at that point, the advice is not unsolicited, which is honestly the best kind of post to answer with advice. Because then you don't have to wonder, like, are you the asshole? Because you're just helping this person answer a question that they have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, like, ultimately we should all remember if you are looking at someone's post online and you are judging it and finding it lacking, you don't know the context behind that build.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, just be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. No, you don't
right, I'm going to
go ahead.
Guys,
go ahead.
I'm going to hold your hand.
The Orange Juice episode, I think, was my favorite episode. Wait, what?
No, go ahead. I was going to say is that if
wait, go ahead.
Anyone listening, right?
Nope, you.
You first. Go ahead.
What's happening? I need a dog.
No, Joel, you go.
Okay. All I was going to say is that if you are someone that's listening, right, and you're seeing these posts, whether they're on Facebook, you know, fucking YouTube, whatever, and someone's like asking that next step that seems fucking mundane to you, the best thing you can fucking do is to make sure to nourish. I don't know why I say nourish. Nourish no. that
Chuck fucking, Nourish.
That thought, that fucking, that it takes a lot to post like, hey, what kind of airbrush setup should I get? Mm. I mean, it's also like, There's a lot of videos on that.
Yeah, there is a lot of courage.
And still, sometimes it's just better to have human interaction answers.
That's right.
And if someone's willing to
getting at the person that's like, you know, fucking you Google it, bud.
Shit sucks, yeah, dude. No. You don't want to do that, man.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they Googled it. And guess what? Sure, they didn't Google it. Sometimes having that, like we talked about in previous episodes, the village mentality of like,
yeah, dude,
I want to do this simple thing. You don't need to have world champions fucking telling you how to buy an airbrush setup. Right.
And actually, it may be better. Like it, those world champions may have a totally different background than anyone else. You want to talk to. Yeah, yeah.
You want the person that's like two steps ahead of you.
Yes.
Like they were there last week or they were there a month ago. Yeah, versus because oftentimes their world champion isn't that much of a world champion actually telling people what they did to get where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when I started airbrushing, that was I first started airbrushing 15 years ago, and I had a Posh. I started airbrushing 15 years ago. I airbrushed for 2 years and then I stopped because I just wasn't.
Yeah. Mine was longer. Mine was maybe like 18 or 20 years ago, but I stopped too.
Yeah. But see, in the meantime, I don't have that airbrush anymore. And most importantly, I wouldn't recommend that airbrush for beginners. I had an old Posh double action airbrush that was not like, now I understand that it wasn't the right airbrush for the application that I was trying to use it for. And even then, Posh has changed a lot over those past 15 years as a company.
Yeah, they've gotten good.
And other companies have really picked up as well. So the airbrush technology in general has changed. So the landscape that I'll be recommending someone a first airbrush, totally different now than 15 years ago when I started, you know, with my first airbrush. Context is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yup. Mm-hmm. If you get nothing else out of this podcast, just know that context is critical. That's really the important thing.
I'd also like to point out that that person online might have a completely different learning style. You might want them to Google but like they can Google it and watch all the videos in the world and just be like, I still can't wrap my head around it. I've tried it a bunch of times. I don't understand what I'm doing.
I'm contractually obligated as an educational psychologist to say learning style preferences, because learning style theory is not really sound. Learning style preferences.
But get this. My favorite thing to happen is when they ask follow-up questions, because then you can answer their follow-up questions, and that's not something they can do to Google. Like,
yeah,
you automatically provide a better service than Google when you are able to answer a question like somebody asks, what first airbrush should I get? I give a recommendation, and they say, well, can it do this? And I'm like, yeah,
Joel,
sure.
Joel said it already. Just be a fucking human being.
Yeah.
Be a human
being and don't be a fucking frog that just yells insults at people. Right? That was the example. Yeah.
I think you smell like butt.
Yeah, that's the frog. And that frog fucking runs a truck nut stand in rural North Carolina.
Right down the street on the left.
Yep. Look, I'm
not where you are. It's always right down the street on the left.
I got a concept for y'all. Imagine the size of truck nuts on a Super Star Destroyer.
No.
Where would they go?
No. No is the correct.
No.
That's a whole moon.
Really? Yeah, I thought it was just TIE fighters with the wings cut off.
Oh, way bigger.
Yeah.
It'd be like I mean,
it's a Constructicon from.
So it's like the universe. Blue Angels, but it's wingless TIE fighters making a truck nut to please. So the Emperor goes, huh? Good.
Good. Let them dangle. Good. Yes.
Let them fucking drag. Unlimited testicles.
Feel the friction. Nope. let one hang lower than the other. Lower than the other. Lower.
Okay. Now that apparently, you know, 3/4 of us are incapacitated.
I think this might be a good stop.
You guys know,
yes. You guys know we fucking nailed this topic.
You guys know what HSB is?
HSB stands for Harrier Strike Battalion. It's a whole bunch of VTOL jets that all take off from the same Star Destroyer. Again, matching truck nuts. Imagine that.
That's valid. It also stands for Hot Sweaty Balls.
All right, that's not bad.
Star Destroyers re-enter the atmosphere, right? So you think they get HSB when
not
they
on
re-enter
purpose.
The atmosphere?
Probably.
Oh my God.
Do they? I mean, if they have truck nuts, they definitely do, right? Because it's like very cold in space. I learned that from Star Trek.
But then they're re-entering the atmosphere, so it's like, you know.
It's like all of a sudden, boom, it's warm. There's a greenhouse effect in here. This is warm.
Do you think they have a special re-entry trajectory to make sure they don't?
Well, the
Millennium Falcon had truck nuts on it. Like, I'm not wrong.
Oh, it 100% had like regular size truck nuts on it. But like I'm saying,
like they're so tiny.
So you think the Fine Mole's model has the correct 100% version, or
the
is
perfect
it Bandai?
Grade? I think Bandai's perfect grade Millennium Falcon probably has a pair. Probably.
Okay, yeah, if sure I could figure this out.
The
would
scale
it
of
be
truck nuts?
Weird. Yeah, would it be weird?
God, I
want to
see
said,
that at IPMS.
Hold on. Even better. Actually, two announcements. The Cutting Mat magazine is in the baby sets of production.
Woo!
TCMM. That is going to be for $12 tier and up. You'll get that once a month. And also to all the Patreon folks, thank you so much for your patience during all this bullshit that's happening in the world right now. We got the shirts out, like Brandon said earlier, and you guys are having some more stickers out on the way too. So all the $2 and $5 tiers, you're gonna have your stuff very soon. But we are working on the fucking magazine. Second of all, if I can figure out a way to get like 50 of these made, if there's enough interest, because this has been a running joke, and I've been thinking about it. I can make resin truck nuts.
Could you 3D print them? If you can 3D print them to the right scale, we are in business.
To
all right,
where
that,
you can plop them on a high grade and they're going to look fucking great.
That's a 25-cent idea right there. I've heard that before.
Yeah,
that's going to be great. As a reminder, if you'd like to join our Patreon and maybe someday get resin truck nuts, I don't know. The website is www.patreon.com/thecuttingmatpodcast. You can also access our Patreon via thecuttingmatpodcast.com. That's also the website where you can find our latest episode. All of our episodes are also available on mechagenre.com under the Cutting Mat tab.
And the cool thing about our website is if you don't have like Spotify or anything, you can actually stream the episodes directly from the website, which is fucking
comes
great.
Right off that website. And Mechagenre has Internet. All of the backlogs as well under that. So definitely take a look at those. I think that we are in business with these truck nuts. It's not going to be a mediocre idea. That's going to be a high quality idea. Also, high somebody quality. Who doesn't do mediocre sign offs, our dude. It's tasteful truck nuts is really all we're aiming for. Yep. Yeah. High quality, tasteful, dangly,
just asymmetric. Just plug them onto a Star Destroyer and turn into IPMS.
That's what, exactly.
I can't wait to do a TIE fucking, fucking Slave One with some truck
slave
nuts on that son of a bitch.
Now, with Slave One, it's tricky because the truck nuts have to like reorient, you know? They got to swing around.
They'll be on a fucking swivel bed.
Swivel.
They have to be on a
How
swivel.
How do you appreciate those?
You appreciate them with the lighter tone of skin. Or you do like fucking oil slick.
Oh, that's chromatic. The way to go. Or, hey, just the classic red. Bright red.
Classic pink red. I guess I've never seen truck nuts, really.
Did Dude, yeah, you get them in like blue, green,
can
orange.
I get truck nuts for my Prius?
Yeah, of course you can.
Done.
Yeah,
they probably actually make them specific to Prius. They're like super fuel efficient truck nuts. Yeah.
Eco nuts.
Eco nuts. Eco nuts.
Yeah. Eco nuts.
Hand
carved. Not to be confused with those eco Nazis.
Are you talking about Ewoks? What?
Ewoks? Tino, get us the fuck out of here.
Please get us out of here.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for listening to the Cutting Mat Podcast. I am your sign-out boy, Tino, also known as Big V Roman, also known as Terrified of Ewoks because they eat people.
Hashtag
to my virtual, Ewoks. Yeah, to my virtual left is Bailey.
Ewok nuts. This is Bailey. Kamau _ Zeta on Instagram.
Too small.
You know, only the highest quality artisan Ewok nuts we deal with. To my virtual left is the honorable B. Randon.
Hello, this is B. Randon. I have been replaced by an AI because of how ridiculous the episode got. I run mechagenre.com. I go by mechagenre all over the internet. Please join our Patreon Discord if you are a patron. I also post as mechagenre in there quite a lot. It's a fun Discord. A lot of on-topic and off-topic conversation. I just think, like, you know, really, honestly, the vendor hall of DocDocConCon, it's all just truck nuts. And also, again, I am sitting on his lap, the Honorable Joel.
J-O-L. J-O-L.
Fucking goddamn feel like Jabba the Hutt. I got Joel in the slave, Princess Slavely outfit. It's on my lap.
It's chafing.
Hey.
Yeah, it's all metal. So
it's entirely.
Go online at True Gunpla and Holy Mountain Printing. So go to those two things and click on stuff and do stuff. And like Brandon said, we're going to be updating the Patreon.
Introducing each other as the honorable from now on. Really is that what's happening?
That might be the outcome of all of that. We're going to have to figure it out.
And so, yeah. Tino, get us out of here, dog.
Okay, engaging warp speed 9 and
make sure to prime the nuts.
Yeah, I was about to say, dangling those truck nuts low on the back end of the Star Destroyer and hit it.